New Year's Eve, we'll gather at 7 o'clock. And then we'll divide ourselves into teams. Well, you'll divide yourselves into teams. And we have basically a driving puzzle. Well, we'll give you some direction, and then you have to figure out to make your way through the South Bay with your phones, taking selfies all along the way, and pictures of various things that you have to figure out how to get there. And we'll have folks just running around all over the South Bay for a couple of hours. As you take your pictures, you will text them back to the command center here. And when you return, everybody will be able to look at everybody's journey and laugh at each other and have a great time. We'll have some snacks and some refreshments and stuff at the end. So if you've ever watched the TV show, The Amazing Race, it's like that, except not at all. There won't be any plane trips, and there won't be any eating gross stuff or anything like that. It'll just be pure fun. Whoops. And hope you come. If you're not doing anything New Year's Eve, you don't already have plans, it's kid-friendly. So if you have elementary-age kids, they can probably figure out some of the stuff. So it won't be so hard that they couldn't help. If you have little ones and you're bold enough to cart them along, bring them. We'll be done about 10, 10:30-ish, something like that. So we won't be out at the stroke of midnight when the crazies start to come out. So we'll be in long before that. So that gives you a little bit more. So hope to see you. We're going to have a ball. All right, let's get into the Word today. Noah read Isaiah chapter 9. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can turn there, but then we're going to jump to lots and lots and lots of Scripture today. I hope your Christmas was good. Ours was. I hope it was warm and full of love, and I hope it was peaceful. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about peace, the fourth of the Advent titles. We started with hope, then love, then joy, and today is peace. And we need this one. We need peace. It almost seems like 2020 and 2021 are one big year. We're one big year. And when, I don't know if you've done this, I've done this, when we've talked about, remember when we did that? It was like a year ago. Realizing it was like 3 years ago, we've just forgotten 2020 and 2021 because it was just the weird, you know, COVID time. My mic's not working out very well. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll just keep talking. There we go. Better. All right. And so as the year is gone, you know, I'm a think back person. I don't know if you are, or I've been told that there are two kinds of people: think back people and think forward people. Think forward people are visionary. They're always looking to the next thing, what we're going to do next, and you know, planning for that. Look back people, they don't ignore that. They just tend to enjoy. Remember when? And maybe they're more into history, things like that. I'm a look-back person. I like to go back to the houses that I used to live in back in the day and remember. I enjoy history and museums and things like that. And as I look back, I don't know if I want to look back on a ton in our culture and in our nation and in our world of 2021. In our church, there's a ton to look back and enjoy. But we remember as the year just started with the craziness at the Capitol on January 6th. And the coronavirus issues, vaccines or non-vaccines, mandates, the issues with Afghanistan, the border, inflation, supply chain, racial unrest, smash and grab crime, record violent crime in major cities all across the nation. There just isn't a lot of peace. There's not a lot. There's lots of anger. There's lots of frustration, there's lots of hatred, there's lots of fighting, there's lots of anything else but peace. It's a dark time. The prophet Isaiah said in the same book that Noah read from, said, there is no peace for the wicked. So look across the nation and even the world today, there's a lot of wickedness. And with wickedness, there is an absence of peace. But I want to tell you there's good news today. In that very same writing that Isaiah wrote about there is no peace, he also said this, and I'll read it again. Verse number two and then verse number 6 and 7. The same prophet spoke about this light in the darkness. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That's good news, amen? That in the midst of darkness, there's a hope for peace. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of trouble, this light penetrates the darkness and shows us that it's not always going to be like this. There's going to come a day and Jesus is going to show up. He's going to show his face. He's literally, physically going to touch down feet on earth once again. The God of the universe. And he was born at this season as a baby. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and he will be called the Prince of Peace. Now that was written 800 years before Jesus was born. Fascinating, isn't it, to think that what if today we had writings from the 12th century when Genghis Khan roamed the earth and the Crusades were happening and Francis of Assisi was writing and things like this, and then 800 years later we say, it's happening today. Well, you know, if you read your Bible closely, you can read things just like that happening today and even beyond, things that are yet to happen and that were prophesied even before that time. Well, Luke recalls in his writing the fulfillment of that prophecy from 800 years prior when he wrote in Luke 2:8-14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The angels announced good news that will cause great joy. The good news is that a Savior has been born. Not a Savior from Rome, as they remembered wanting to be saved from Egypt and then wanting to be saved from the Philistines and then wanting to be saved from Assyria and then wanting to be saved from the Babylonians. Now they're under captivity to Rome. Not that kind of a Savior. A Savior much bigger. Much bigger. A Savior that will come and save us from ourselves. A Savior that will free us from that internal lack of peace. A Savior that'll save us from eternal judgment. You see, it's not, you know, very popular maybe to talk about eternal judgment at Christmas time. It's because it's a dark subject. But we got to talk about it at Christmas time because that's why he came in the first place. See, folks, this is the truth. Without Jesus, there is a real place, a real judgment. It's called hell. It's not a myth. It's not some kind of imaginative story. It's not a metaphor for something. It's real. God doesn't send people there. We choose it. Strangely. We choose it by rejecting Jesus. For everything that hell is simply the absence of all that God is. God is life. Hell is eternity with no life. God is love. Hell is eternity with absolutely no love. God is peace. Hell is eternity without peace. God is joy. Hell is eternity without joy. God is fellowship and togetherness. Hell is eternity all alone and on and on and on. It's real. And if without Jesus, we're stuck in that. your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your co-workers, without Jesus, that's their destiny. And it was our destiny too, before we understood that we could reach out and grab a hold of the son that has been given, the child that was born, the Messiah, the Savior. That's why there's good news of great joy, because now mankind no longer has to look towards a destiny that is hopeless. Now we have a destiny that is hopeful. Now we have a destiny that is relieving, that is good and grand and beautiful, and it's life and love and joy and peace. We can have that now because the Son was born. The mighty God, the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. We don't have to look forward in dread anymore. And if there are those who have not yet made a decision to reach out to Jesus, I beg you, reach out. Because otherwise there is a reality without Him. And it's eternal death. It's quite a bit on a lighter side, but when I was a child, this made sense to me. Cupertino has been in our family for a long time. I used to live I was born and raised in the East Bay. And when you're a kid, don't you know like a 40-minute drive seems like forever in a car? And periodically, my family, my father and mother would drive us, there's three of us kids, to a little church in Cupertino. I found out later it was on Homestead Road. It's no longer there. But my parents had some friends that pastored that church. And so the Cupertino resonated in my mind. And so we'd come periodically on Sunday nights, and we'd enjoy the church service. And on the way home, we'd head home about 9:30, and it's still a 40-minute drive or so back to Hayward where we lived. And it just seemed like forever, but it's more forever when you've gotten in trouble. And your father says, when we get home, you're going to get it. That 40-minute drive seems like years. As the dread is in your heart and in your mind thinking, oh no, can we please get lost? Can we please go somewhere else? Because I know when we arrive in Hayward, we're going to get it. And so we would have a strategy. And back then there was no seatbelt laws. So we would crawl in the floor and lay our heads down on the axle, you know, well there. Or lay on the back seat. And all three of us could find places to lay down. And we would purposely try to fall asleep, because what parent in their right mind would awaken a sleeping child just to beat them? And we hoped that there was some kind of mercy that would take over, and that they just couldn't stomach the fact of waking this little sleeping, you know, child. Sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't work. And so sometimes we would be carried to bed, and we weren't really asleep. I remember being carried going, oh, please don't think I'm awake. Please don't think I'm awake. Please don't think I'm awake. Just take me to bed. Put me into bed. Tuck me in. Other times it was, you know what I said, didn't you? Oh, are you kidding me right now? A spanking at 10. This is the worst. That dread. You get it, right? When you've all faced things of that dread. Jesus came to remove the dread. Life is that journey without Jesus headed for a dreadful end. But the Son of God inserted Himself in our existence and says, no more dread. All you've got to do is call on my name. And now the journey is a hopeful, excited, are we there yet type journey. Not a dreadful one. Peace. You can have peace today. What a great way to finish 2021. Following the awesome baptism of three people who made that decision just this year or slightly before. And now their lives are different, changed. Why not yours? Why not today? What is peace? The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It means well-being, or I like this definition, as it should be. When you welcome someone says shalom in Hebrew, it's as it should be. From a God point of view, let his peace be with you. Let God's as it should be with you. In Greek, the word is free from worry, a reconciliation. It's a blessing from God. And I like that too. If we put the two words together, you have everything as that as it should be. We are reconciled. reconciled to God. And that peace is who God is. He's the Prince of as it should be. He's the Prince of reconciliation. He's the one who makes sense of the world when the world doesn't make any sense at all. Every Christian should have the understanding about that faith or about that peace. But sometimes we forget. So today, I want to just again implore those who don't yet know Jesus to reach out, and He's there. You can have the Prince of Peace today. But for those that are already believers and maybe we've somehow forgotten and we've wandered away, the stresses and worries and anxieties of this life have succeeded in robbing you of the peace that God wants you to have. I want to give you some reminders today too. I want to talk about two things. No God, no peace. N-O. Or no God, no peace. K-N-O-W. First of all, no God, no peace. Without God, your life will be consumed with three things. Oh, many more things. But these three I want to talk about today. Your life will be consumed with stress, with worry, and anxiety. And those are enemies of peace. What about the kids? What about the house? What about the job? What about the budget? What about taxes? What about my health? What about politics? Where's our nation headed? What about? What about? What about? What about? There are plenty of things to be stressed and worry and be anxious over. Stress is the resistance to pressure or tension of external forces or tension of external forces, mental or emotional strain from adverse or very demanding circumstances. Long definition, but it's complete. Stress is the situation you're now facing. Now, stress can be good or bad. Stress is just stress. When you go to work every day, you may even enjoy work, but you get into your car and immediately there's a degree of stress. Not that you're going to hit traffic, just that you're aware of other drivers, you're aware of having to obey the laws, you're getting from one place to the next, and that increases a degree of stress. Not necessarily bad, but it's there. There are other stressors that are negative. Some good stressors are the stresses maybe put on a suspension bridge, and that stress keeps that bridge from collapsing. Or maybe you've seen some of those ancient Roman arches, and there's no mortar in those arches, but there is a keystone, a wedge stone at the top. When forced in, it created stress on the other stones, so much so that it kept them in place, and you can still see some of those 2,000 years later. That's good stress. Keeps things together, keeps things strong. But there are other kinds of stresses, other kinds of external forces that can overwhelm you, that can overtake you, that can even drive you to doing things that are harmful. The stress comes from external forces. You might think your boss, your spouse, your lack of a spouse, decisions you have to make, your house payment, your health, your future, a friend issue. Things that are outside yourself that are creating tension, that are pressing against you. And it's not the actual force necessarily pressing against you that creates the negative stress, but it's your resistance to it. And some of the things we naturally need to resist. And when they're forced upon you, it creates that stress. For a lot of us, all of us are wearing masks, except for myself this morning. And I don't really know if you like that or not. For some of you that are saying, yes, this is great, we need to wear these, but I don't like it. I don't like having to. Others are thinking something different. That's an outside stress putting pressure, and to the degree we resist it, it could elevate the tension inside of us. Trying to force against it, push against it, creates that stress. No one resists a good thing, typically. If you get a raise, you don't tell your boss, oh, please give it to somebody else. The stress of more money will be too much to bear. Let me just give you a clue. If that happens to you, refer or just take the check and just write it to Pastor Greg Winchling. I won't stress over your raise at all. But maybe, I guess, if you won the lotto, plenty of people have found a great amount of stress that comes with that. So maybe it does work that way. Or the stress of going on vacation. Are you kidding me? Give me your extra vacation week. But have you ever really lived the week before vacation? And the stress that takes. So even sometimes those good things can cause stress. I read this the other day when it said, this too shall pass. It might pass like a kidney stone, but it'll pass. can all think about things that might go, but still the stress. Well, stress leads to worry. Worry is the state of uncertainty over actual or potential problems. Actual or potential, crucial. Stress leads to worry. When we get that pressure on us, we start to be thinking, but what about, but what about, but what if things don't work out? But what if I get laid off? But what if I get tested positive? But what if I don't have enough? But what about the future? But what about the kids? And we start to worry about potential issues that come along with those problems. I'm sure you've heard this quote, worry doesn't take away today's problems, it takes away today's peace. You start dreaming up scenarios that haven't even happened yet. You start losing sleep over something that may not even occur. You borrow trouble you don't need. You allow things that cannot control to control your thinking. I like this quote. Worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Worry is typically about the unknown. Or about the uncontrollable. So why are we worrying about it if we don't know? That's the point. I don't know, and it's freaking me out. An exasperated husband asked his wife, "Why are you always worrying when it doesn't do any good?" And she piped right back, "Oh, yes, it does. 90% of the things I worry about never happen." We need to borrow the words of the Serenity Prayer. Maybe some of you know it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We need that. Or the stressors of life, which will come, will lead us to worrying about them, which leads us to the next thing, which is anxiety. Anxiety is the eternal lack of peace caused by worry over the stressful situation. Stress can lead to worry. Worry leads to anxiety. Anxiety is that lack of peace. It's when it leaves your body. My peace has left my body. It's left my brain. I'm no longer peaceful anymore. Now I'm anxious. And anxiety can make you sick. Anxiety can kill you. It really can. You can get ulcers. You can die if you're overwhelmed by anxiety. Land you in the hospital, land you on the counselor's couch or the psychiatrist's couch. Anxiety spreads like a virus. You ever notice how highly contagious anxiety is? Just get around somebody who's freaking out, and pretty soon you start to get a little freaked out yourself. It's very hard to stay calm in the midst of a freaked out situation. And today I'm sure that you can put your finger on any number of those situations as the issues have popped up in our culture, and soon there's this wave of fear. Not necessarily, maybe COVID related, maybe not, maybe related to something else, but you've been there, the contagiousness. Church, the world needs a people who can enter a situation and stay in a situation with peace. What good is our God? What evidence is there that God is good when we're as freaked out as everybody else? What good would it have done for Paul to be on the ship, floundering in the Mediterranean, and everybody else wants to jump overboard? What good would it have done them if Paul jumped overboard too? What good would it have done if Jonah hadn't had peace, understanding what God's word was? He'd have jumped overboard too. See, church, the world doesn't need us to be jumping overboard with them. They need somebody that's peaceful in the midst of the situation. They say, "Pastor, you don't understand. I'm out of control." No, you're not. You're out of God's control. You're out of God's control. Here's some truths. You cannot avoid stressful situations. You can't. They're going to happen. It's just part of life. When stressed, however, you can choose to worry or you can choose to trust God. It's your choice. Truth three, if you choose to worry, you will embrace anxiety and forfeit peace. And truth four, if you choose to trust God, you'll find His peace. It's there. It's almost like a commodity of the Spirit. The Bible calls it a fruit of the Spirit. Joyce Meyer, I like what she says. She says, if you give Satan a toehold, a foothold, it'll turn into a stronghold. Sometimes we give stress the toehold and the foothold of worry. It turns into anxiety and we've lost our peace. But let me close and give you four ways to transform that stress, worry, and anxiety back to peace again. Okay, to preserve the peace in our life. Four things that I want to give you. Number one, pray. Pastor, this is easy stuff. Yeah, well then how come you don't do it so much? That's really the question, right? It's not that we don't believe prayer works and we don't pray enough. Or we don't even take time. A prayer life, church, is an anxious life. It's true. A prayer life is an anxious life. The peace of God is synonymous with the presence of God. How do I know? Because here's what the Bible says. For he himself is our peace. Ephesians 3:14. He himself is our peace. Absence of God, absence of peace. It's just the way it works. Augustine said, thou hast made for us thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. It's a good quote. Peace in your life is not determined by a lack of conflict or any outward circumstance, but rather by the rest of the inner man experiences when the presence of the Lord fills your heart and mind. There's where you find peace. That leads us to Philippians 4:6-7. One of my friends, he likes to say, this is the Philippians 4:6 fix. I like that. It makes sense to me. Let me give you the Philippians 4:6 fix. It reads this way. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Is your heart in turmoil? Is your mind kind of freaked out? Is the peace leaving your body? Is the peace leaving your mind? You're starting to feel yourself out of control? Go to the Philippians 4:6 fix. And it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with thanksgiving, pray. Pray. And when you do that, something that you can't understand, because it says that this peace of God which transcends understanding, it's beyond our understanding. How does it work? I don't know. You're the pastor. You're supposed to know these things. I don't know. But here's what I know. It transcends my understanding, and when I pray, the peace of God comes into my heart and in my mind, and it guards it. That guard is like a Roman soldier, like a sentry with a shield and a spear and a helmet. And he's got this fire in his eyes and anxiety wants to get into my body. And that guard says, not in here, you don't. You're not coming in here. This is my mind. This is my heart. And anxiety, worry, you don't belong here. Away with you. We'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Folks. It's the simplest thing. Pray. It's simple. But then why is it so crazy hard? You know why? Because there is a devil, the same devil I told you about, that will be in hell, not celebrating in hell. He's going to be an inmate as well. And he knows the most devastating thing for his mission is that if you pray. That's why as soon as you go to pray, there's all the distractions. Your cell phone starts hitting notifications. Somebody starts to scream. There's this cry over in the room. The kids go nuts. The boss calls. Distractions. We got to weed those out because prayer is the thing. As you get on your face before God, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. I'm so scared of what's going to happen, but Lord, I trust you. Bam! He'll guard your heart and mind. Now, we're human. And so as human beings, we got to pray a lot because you might pray about something in the morning and by 10 o'clock that stress or that worry comes back again. Well, pray again. And then by 2 o'clock, comes back again. Pray again. By 5 o'clock, comes back again. Because that's who we are. We're like, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Little angel, little devil. And we just struggle that way. So you keep praying. That's what you do. Pray, number one. Number two. The fight for peace is in the mind. You gotta know that it's here. Change the mind, change your life. It's the way it works. Romans 12 says, you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to change? Happens here. Do you believe that prayer will work? Do you believe that seeking God will then set up that sentry to guard your heart and mind? If you don't believe that's going to happen, then you're just kind of babbling. Change your mind, change your life. Isaiah 26:3. He will keep him in perfect peace. Who's what? Who's what? Mind is where? Where is it? Stayed upon him. You guys sleeping on me right now? Okay, maybe you're just deep thinking. He'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him, fixed, when you don't let your mind wander off, when you don't let your mind start to be saturated with all the negativity of the world. I got to be honest, I like to listen to the news, I like to keep up, but sometimes I got to say, you know what, this news is making me negative. This news is making me stressed, making me anxious, these voices. And I got to separate. I got to pull away for a while. I got to, no. Pray a little bit more. Get back into my word. Let the good things saturate my mind. Because that can really rob you when your mind is off on other places. If you keep your mind on the media, I guarantee you, you're going to start having a peace leak in your life. If your mind is focused on fearful people and fearful words, you're going to have a peace leak. And you're going to start feeling that drain. And you're going to, and as the drain, it's not this emptiness, it's a drain that's immediately replaced with anxiety. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind. In other words, like, boom, locked. I'm locked in. My mind is locked. What are heavenly things? Well, all the great salvation, grace, mercy, redemption, heaven, His goodness, His faithfulness, His joy, His peace, His kindness, all the things that are Godlike, all the things that we have wrapped up in our gospel, the good news of great joy that the angels announced. Focus on that. Paul wrote, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is noble, think on those things. There's so many things to meditate on, to keep our minds on. Guarantee you, social media will cause you to have a peace leak. It can be fun, but if you're saturated and your mind gets pulled away to earthly things, you will find yourself slipping into worry and anxiety. What does the word say? Think on those things. You say it's impossible. God says all things are possible. You say, I'm too tired. God says, I'll give you rest. You say, nobody really loves me. God says, I love you. You say, I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient. You say, I can't figure things out. God says, I will direct your steps. You say, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You say, I can't forgive. God says, I forgive you. You say, I can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs. You say, I'm afraid. God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. You say, I'm worried and frustrated. God says, cast all your cares upon me. You say, I'm not smart enough. God says, I'll give you wisdom. You say, I feel alone. God says, I will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. We got it. What are you going to focus on? Which one? What you say, what the world says, or what God says? Pray. Then know it starts in the mind. Where will you focus? Where will you set your mind? Number three, you have a choice not to worry. It's kind of a sub point of number two, because a choice happens in the mind. But we got to go there. The worries and the stresses and the anxieties of this life do not have to overtake you. They don't have to. They may be powerful. But who's more powerful? Refer back to point two. God is all powerful. We have a choice. Let me give you three verses, rapid fire here. John 14:1. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Are those choice words? That's a choice word, right? Don't let it. Instead, trust. Those are choices. He says later on, Jesus said in John 14:27, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Second time in one chapter. Don't let it. That trouble, that's the worry and anxiety. Why are you troubled? What does that mean, troubled? It means I'm worried and anxious. That's what it means. Don't let it. You don't have to. Two chapters later, in the same message that Jesus is teaching, John 16:33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Choice words. He already said, in this world you're going to have trouble. It's going to happen. We will have stresses. That's truth one, remember? You will have stresses. But we can pray. We can realize that it's in the mind, and we can realize in our mind we can choose. Take heart. That phrase take heart in the Greek means literally take control of your heart. Take it. Grab it in your mind. Say, heart, I'm not letting you worry. Because my mind is fixed on things above. My God is bigger than these worries. My God will supply all my needs. If God is for me, who can be against me? I know that my future is secure. I'm going to take heart and not let the finite things of this world rob me of the peace I have today and somehow skew my thinking about the joy set before me. That was a great time for an amen. I don't know where in the world you were right there. Take heart. Are you anxious right now? Take heart. Take it. And don't let it be troubled. Instead, say, God, you are greater. And you know, right now, does it get easier said than done sometimes? Yeah. I've got a daughter-in-law fighting cancer. I've got a dear sister fighting cancer. I've got another dear sister, Kendra, fighting cancer. And so many other issues in life. Easier said than done sometimes? Sure. Sure. But God is God. And there is no other. He is the Prince of Peace. Make a decision. And last, you got to stay connected with God's people. When we get worried and anxious, we tend to isolate. Well, not everybody. Some people like to go and just talk it up with somebody, and then they bring everybody else down. But a lot of folks isolate. Proverbs 12:25 says this, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. If you have an anxious heart, it's weighing you down. It's nice to be around people that you know are strong and that can speak a kind word into your life. That's why one of our behaviors at Abundant Life is encourage somebody. Because you never know when they're being weighed down with anxiety and worries. You just never know. But an encouraging word can lift them out of that. Proverbs says so. Philippians 4:10-14, just a couple of the statements says, I have learned, Paul speaking, to be content whatever the circumstances. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Paul says, God's got me, but it was really good to have you with me. Church, we need each other. In 2022, our theme is real church. And we're going to go places as a church, I hope and pray, that we've never been to before. Places in relationship, places in depth of the Spirit, places in communion with God, and understanding that that happens to us as a family. We need each other. And when we're stressed and worried and anxious, we got to have somebody that comes along, holds us up. As Ecclesiastes says, pity is the person who's by themselves. For how can one person keep warm alone? But if you have two, you can stay warm. Pity the person who's in a fight and they're by themselves. Nobody's there to watch their back. But if you have someone with you, they can watch your back. If you fall into a pit and you're by yourself, how do you get out? But if you've got somebody with you, they can pull you out. Even better, a cord of many strands is not broken. That's why the church is really, really strong. When we're the church, we're unbreakable. We need each other. We're important together. Pray. Know what's in your mind. Make a decision. And don't isolate, but come together. better when you come together. It's okay to share those needs. Say, you know, I'm feeling a little bit worried right now. Would you pray with me? And then let the peace of God just come in to that situation and rescue you out of that worry and anxiety. Because the world needs a church that's at peace. The world doesn't need just another religious bunch of people freaking out because of all the concerns of the world. Sean, why don't you come on up? I'm going to close it off. The angels came announcing the Prince of Peace. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. Can I just tell you, the government the way it is today, and I don't mean just the United States government, I mean a global government, it's not going to be this way forever. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the mighty God, the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, is coming back. And when he does, he's going to make everything right. My hope and prayer for you is that you're not dreading his coming, but that you're excited for his coming. And that makes all the difference in the world. If you're dreading his coming right now, it can change just like that. The Bible says all you need to do is call upon his name. And I've written a prayer in your notes. It looks something like this. You can pray this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and I want to turn. That's a mind thing. From my past and turn toward you. I now invite you to come into my heart and I want to follow you and trust you as Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a simple prayer. But that just might be the most powerful couple of sentences you will ever say. Go ahead and put those back up on the screen, would you? I want those to stay there. It may just be the most powerful thing you've ever seen, said. Why not today? Easy day to remember, December 26th, day after Christmas. What a great late Christmas gift to Jesus. I choose you, Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Father, I pray for the hearts and minds of all those sitting here today. And I ask you in Jesus' name that if there are those who have not yet made a decision, that today could be the day. Not to create undue fear and say that this may be the only chance, but we really truly don't know if it may be the only chance. We don't know about tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. God, I pray every person listening to the sound of my voice, inside, outside, or at home, can say with confidence, yes, I know Jesus is coming, my Prince of Peace, and I'm excited to have my Father come and get me. But Lord, there may be those who aren't so sure. And I pray in Jesus' name that today, God, today, help them to see that you are trustworthy and true. Nobody looking around, we're just being reverent and courteous to other people. If that's you today, maybe today's your day. Would you accept the Prince of Peace today? Today, the Prince of Peace. Then you'll know, and then you'll realize how to pray and how to take heart, how to learn to love this church family. Peace in your heart and your mind. Follow in the footsteps of Farida, Neda, Bizan. They in the waters of baptism profess their salvation. Why not be next? Let's celebrate. That's you today, just quickly. Nobody looking. Just slip up a hand quickly, just so I can see and I can know how to help. Because I know who you were. Put up your hand, put it back down again. Why not today? Are you ready? Anybody in the sanctuary? You may be at home. I invite you to pray too. I won't linger long. I always feel if you're ready, you're ready. I don't need to coerce. Let the Holy Spirit do that. And seeing no hands, I'm going to pray that God will just touch your life if you're here that way. If not, hallelujah. That we're here together in one mind. I want to speak to those that are Christians, though. You've already made your decision to follow Christ. And right now, maybe you've had that peace leak. and you're feeling anxious, feeling worried. Things of this life have kind of starting to put pressure on you. And today there needs to be freedom. If you need some freedom from that worry and anxiety, put up a hand, put it back down. We're going to pray. Anybody? Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, 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 lots. Yeah, tons of people. Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. It's a good thing to admit it. Bad thing to hang on to it. So let's do this together. We're a family. Let's stand together. We won't hold hands because I know Corona's freaking us out a little bit. We won't do that. But I want us to stand together as a statement of solidarity. That we stand together realizing that we all go through it. And let's pray this together. Okay, out loud. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, you are my Prince of Peace. And I know that I can call on your name, not being anxious, but calling out in prayer, and your peace, which I don't understand, will guard my heart and mind. I ask you right now to take away this anxiety. Help me to stop this worrying. Help me to take heart and decide to trust you even in the midst of struggle. Today, Lord, I choose to no longer try to control what I can't control. Instead, I turn the control over to you, and I choose to trust you, the God who loves me enough to die for me. And I know you're coming back for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. 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 If you are free of worry right now, give the Lord just a praise offering. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you and glorify him. Here's what I know. That's going to creep back in about the time you get in your car in the parking lot. Pray again. And by the time you get home, it'll probably creep back again. Pray again. And pray again. And pray again. Until you put the nail in the coffin of that thing. And it's released, okay? All right, this is not a one-stop shop, drive-through, get your burger prayer thing and leave. Okay? This is what the disciplined life with Christ is all about. Amen? Amen. If I don't see you on New Year's Eve to run around with the amazing race, we'll see you next year. Have a good one. Pastor Sean, close us out. Let's give him praise as we do.
Amen. Let's sing this chorus before we head out here. We'll have an opportunity. If you'd like to have prayer, the prayer partners will be making their way up as we're singing this song at the conclusion of the service. Just want to invite you to come and be pray with somebody and get a chance to connect. Let's sing this together.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. From the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God, thank you, Father, for this day. And I pray, Lord, as we go from this place, that those around us, whether we can join together in a restaurant or a meal together, or maybe it's meeting together in a little less than a week for the amazing race. I pray, God, that those around us would know, God, the joy that we have in us. The lack of fear, the lack of anxiety is because, Lord, of you. We're going to sing We're going to raise a hallelujah. And Jesus, we're going to seek you each day. I pray, Father, as we go, that you'd be glorified in our attitudes, in our words, and our deeds. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. If you'd like prayer partners, if you'd please come. Have a great Sunday.